There's a lighthouse on a hillside that overlooks life's sea. When I'm tossed, it sends out a light that I might see, and the light that shines in darkness now safely leads a soul. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, my ship would be no more. Everybody that lives about us says, tear that lighthouse down. The big ships don't sail this way anymore. There's no use of it standing around. Then my mind goes back to that stormy night when just in time I saw the light. Was a light from that old lighthouse that stands there on the hill.
And I thank
God for the lighthouse.
I owe my life to Him.
For Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin He has shone a light around me that I could clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me where would this ship be?
This is the Children's Home Hour, originating in Bristol, Tennessee. This is Brother Mike Nixon. I'd like to welcome you to the broadcast today. Thank you for joining us. Count it a privilege to come into your place of listening. We trust the broadcast to be a blessing and a help to you. I'd like to begin it with a word of prayer, so if you could, pray with us. Father, as we bow, we thank you, Lord, for this day you've given us. Thank you today, Father, for the health you've given us. Lord, and we ask you, Lord, that you'd have your will, your way. Lord, I pray for the listeners. I pray you'd bless them and help them, Father. Lord God, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother, let me make just a few quick announcements concerning the work that we're engaged in. If you would, pray for our children's homes, one here in Bristol, Tennessee, one in North India, one in South India, one in Romania, as well as the feeding centers in Romania, Bulgaria, and pray for the work in the Ukraine. All of the turmoil and things that's going on over there right now with this war, it seems like it's died down in the news, but it ain't died down in our hearts and our missionaries' hearts and those that have a burden for those people. If you would please continue to pray for them, we'd greatly appreciate that. I want to thank you, each and every one that's helped in getting the money together for the flour and oil this year to feed those folks over there. If you don't know what I'm talking about, if you maybe never listened to the broadcast broadcaster something before. I'll explain just a little bit about that. Each year, our missionaries, they go into very poor villages, and there's no work or anything like that, especially during the winter months. And we try to get each family over there 110 pounds of flour and 5 liters of oil, and that'll help them through the hard part of the winter. And we were able to do that again. I want to say that. I sure appreciate the Lord doing that. We didn't do it. He done it again. He's still feeding the multitudes at somewhere around probably 2,200 families that he's fed again. He's done this for several years, and we greatly appreciate it. Appreciate all your prayers and all your support and the financial support that you've freely given. We greatly appreciate that, and I trust the Lord will bless you, and want to thank you for that once again. And I want to ask you if you would write us this week. Write us at Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee 37621, or at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee 37621. And at this time, we're going to go to the auditorium of the Brookside Baptist Church.
If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 1. The Bible said in verse 1, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake to Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the princes of the eunuchs gave name. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and Mishael of Meshach, and Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine that which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. I want to talk to you about this just a little bit, and I've got a verse that I leave laying back there on my desk, and I thought about this verse a lot when I was reading this again. The verse is Lamentations 4 and 5, and it says, they that fed delicately are desolate in the streets, and they that were brought up in scarlet embrace dunghills. And Jeremiah wrote that, and I believe that Daniel lived it. Say, why would you say that? Because the scarlet business, that has to do with the priesthood, that has to do with the royalty. Daniel and these three Hebrew boys, they were out of Judah. They were chosen among the children of Judah and among the princes. And I think Jeremiah saw the children of Israel going into captivity. I think we know that in the book of Jeremiah, book of Lamentations, he wrote about this. We find out later on over here that you'll find out that Daniel has the parchments or the scrolls of the book of Jeremiah, and he reads them. And because as he reads them, Daniel gets tore up, I believe, and he begins to pray. And because he finds out that in the book of Jeremiah, they're down there in captivity, and he finds out that they're going to be down there. According to Jeremiah, they're going to be down there 70 years. And the Bible teaches us here that Daniel's a child, and he's going to spend most all of his life in captivity. And he begins to pray. And he asks the Lord. I mean, he confesses all of Israel's sins. He tells them they're guilty. And he asks him, would you be merciful? Then the angel comes and speaks to him and said, 70 weeks is determines what he says. You're staying in captivity the whole time. You're not getting out. This is what God said, and this is what's going to happen. You're staying down here. And I'm not going to, as I said this morning, I'm not going to run that rabbit and talk about the 69 week and 70 weeks and all that. All that happened. That happened in Daniel's day. That's over. That was a prayer that he prayed and said, I want out of captivity. Would you let us out? And he said, no, 70 weeks is determined. You're down here. You're staying. In 69 weeks, Ezra come along. Those prophets come along. They went and started working on the temple again. I was reading this and I thought about how sad would it be? And I look here tonight and there ain't many of us here. But I want to say that that's by choice, whether people come to the house of God or whether they don't. Amen. How sad would it be as in Daniel's day and you don't have a choice? In fact, the temple's been destroyed. In fact, they went into the temple and took everything out and took it into the house of their gods. And let me say this. The judgment of God fell on the children of Israel. God declared this. This was going to happen. It's going to happen because they rejected Him. They went and served other idols and other gods and built other groves and done all these other things. So the Lord said, no, you're going down there. This is going to be a punishment to you. He's getting them hungry again. All of this business is to Israel. I read a scripture, and I'm gonna flip over so I don't mess it up, in the book of Romans, and it's also in Psalms chapter 62, Romans chapter 11. The Bible said in verse 9, and David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Boy, and that just jumped out at me the other day when I read that. Let their table be a snare. Let it be a trap. Let it be a stumbling block. No, he's talking about the children of Israel. And see, they kept eating from the table of Moses. They kept eating the law. They could never see Jesus as the Messiah. And it became a trap to them. You'll go on and read the rest of this. The Bible said they had eyes, but they couldn't see. Had ears, but they couldn't hear. And the Lord put on them the spirit of slumber. But the Lord's promised them that He's going to open their eyes one day. And He's going to open their ears one day. And He's going to put in them a heart of flesh instead of a heart of a stone. He's going to do some things for them. But then you go on in Romans chapter 11 and you'll find out that He says some other things. Talking to the Gentiles. And He says something like this. If you continue in His goodness, least you be cut off also. So my advice is stay with the goodness of God. This ain't us being good. This is God being good. But then I noticed something also when this takes place, when the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And I believe that's happened. I believe I said this morning that we're in the gleaning days. We're just getting one here and one there. I don't think as far as Gentiles, you're going to see a huge revival or anything like that. There's going to be a revival, but it's going to be Israel. Amen. Their eyes are going to be open. Their ears are going to be open. And their hearts are going to be changed. They're going to have it. Amen. But what scares me is this. The Gentiles. Because that's who we are. Amen. And it bothers me when I read these scriptures that God judged this crowd, and He did judge them and put them down there. Now, here's where I want to preach for a few minutes. And there ain't many young'uns here. But I'm wondering and I'm contemplating. Look what happened here. They took the children away from their parents. They took them. Well, you do understand the way the government looks at children in the United States now. They don't belong to the parents. They belong to them. We see that all the time. We've seen it this week. We've seen a social worker just show up and said, we're going to question kids, and there ain't nothing you can do. Which it wasn't nothing we was doing. It's something somebody else done. You know, I'll throw that out there just for anybody listening. You know, they was checking on the health and welfare of the youngins. I can't say that's always a bad thing. But see, they believe that they belong to them. At any point, they can step in and take them.
Yes, sir.
And I want to say this. Here, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, says, we're going to take your youngins, and we're going to teach them for 3 years. And we're going to feed them. Now, I'm talking about this table over in Romans chapter 11. That table become a trap and a snare and a stumbling block. Now, how would you feel if you was taken from your parents and you was all alone and you didn't have nothing? See, I mean, we get a certain comfort from mom and dad. When I was little, I didn't worry about, now maybe they did, but I didn't worry about what was in the refrigerator or in the cabinets. I didn't worry about getting food. I didn't worry, but these are worries that they all of a sudden had because they were taken away. I wasn't worried about clothes. I wasn't worried about certain things. But now you've got these children, they've been taken away. But now they're presented with another option. And the option is, and the word on the street is, we're going to treat you better than your mom and dad did. We're going to feed you like the king eats. We're going to give you what he drinks. We're going to let you dress the way he dresses. We're going to make you part of higher society. I've been thinking a lot about this. That's going on now in the culture we live in. First of all, they take them away from you. They've already done that. Most youngins are not raised by mom and dad anymore. They're raised by telephone. I mean, if you're having problems with your phone, give it to little Susie and she'll fix it for you. I thank God I didn't have them things when I was a little fella. Now, I'm talking about the table they're eating from. That table become a trap. These children, all but four of them, were trapped. They liked it. Them children of Israel, they didn't worry that the house of God was gone anymore. Does that look familiar? They didn't worry the church was torn down. They had become trapped, I mean, from the table. But we got it made now. We got somebody taking care of us, being good to us. It become a stumbling block to them. The only ones I'm really concerned about here, and I'm wondering how Daniel, how he got anything in his heart outside of the providence of God, but the Bible said he purposed in his heart. I don't know how he done it, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he wouldn't do that. Now, he is a child. He didn't have mom and daddy influence. He didn't have the priest influence. All that's gone. He didn't have nobody preaching to him. Boy, I'd like to have that spirit around, wouldn't you? That could get in somebody. And when nobody else is around to influence, they just decide, I'm going with God anyway. And I understand the king don't like it. I understand that the people they put over us don't like it. But the only ones that had any help from God is these four boys. And really, they just went with Daniel, I believe. I didn't see where they purposed in their heart. I think they may have just been in the same dormitory, you might say. They might have just been in close ranks with him. They might have just been followers, you might say. That's encouraging, ain't it? If somebody decides they're going to go with God no matter what everybody else is, they might be somebody to go along with you. God may just have somebody there for you. God may have somebody there to encourage you. I find out here that they end up in trouble and it ain't long because Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. He can't remember the dream, but he wants the interpretation of it. He goes to the magicians and astrologers and all that and said, I want you to tell me the interpretation of this dream. They say, tell us the dream and we'll interpret it. He said, I don't know it. You're going to have to give me that also. And they tell him, nobody can do this except God. Well, ain't that a blessing? Because there's one boy in there that knows God. And he's got him a prayer team. And he goes to them fellas and said, boys, y'all pray that God would reveal this thing to me. Y'all pray and God will show me this.
Amen.
The king don't know we ain't been eating his meat. The king don't know we ain't been drinking his wine. The king don't know my heart is not inclined to this land. I don't want to look like them. I don't want to act like them. I don't want to be like them. Listen, Daniel was eating from a different table. He wasn't trapped. So how come? Because he'd given his heart to God. He didn't have a stumbling block or a snare. You know what a snare is? Snare is something set at a threshold or a door. And when you go through it, it's got you. You got a rope around your neck. You got a leash on you. You're tied down. You're like a dog on a chain. It ain't long before you got a circle that you've run and you know exactly where your boundaries are. But here's what I want to say. Here are some fellas that had no boundaries. When they needed something, they didn't look to the priest. They didn't look to Judah. They didn't look to Israel. They didn't look to the astrologers. They didn't look to the magicians. They didn't look to the Chaldeans. They didn't have those restrictions. They looked to heaven. And things were revealed to them that nobody else knew. But it wasn't long. They got promoted because of their freedom. Their heart wasn't caught in its trap because of the table. See, here's the thing about it. You get blinded. If you ain't careful, if you eat from the table of this world too much, it ain't long until you're trapped.
Amen.
You're snared. You got a stumbling block. You ever seen people that just can't never get it together? They're always just stumbling from one place to another. Well, I got the answer. Where are they eating from? And I want to say it to change. It's really just giving your heart to God. And He'll direct the rest. I mean, just say whatever you want. Let's go with that for a while. Because all of my friends and all of those around me, they're gone. They're in captivity. Do you realize the only one that wasn't in captivity is these four Hebrew boys down there? Now, Daniel wanted to go back to the homeland. Far as I know, he didn't get to do that. But he wasn't bound. He wasn't bound by the borders of Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. No, when he needed to, he'd take a trip to heaven. He wasn't bound by the teachers of the Chaldeans, the magicians or astrologers. When he needed wisdom, he didn't go to them, he went to God. I mean, the Bible said something like this. Let this mind be in you which is in Christ Jesus. Don't get bound by the worldly wisdom. God may tell you things completely contrary to the world. He won't tell you things contrary to the Word of God, but He'll tell you things contrary to the world. The Bible said that the table that they eat from become a trap and a snare and a stumbling block and a recompense. It caused problems. The whole nation of Israel become blind because they kept eating from the law of Moses. They kept eating from the manna from above, but never would take the bread of life, which was Jesus. And they're blinded to who the Messiah is. But, and I said it this morning, I'm glad that He's going to open their eyes. But I'll say this, that as He's opening their eyes, He don't cut the church off. But this church age is in a mess. Because God's pulling off of it. And that's hard to preach, isn't it? It's even harder to receive. Think, what are we going to do? Well, the Lord said He'd never leave us nor forsake us. We're just gleaning to get the others in that want to go, give their heart to God. Trying to tell those we can. I seen this today. You say, well, you're just crazy on this. Well, look it up. I've been preaching this for a long time here in the book of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar has this very dream that I'm talking about. It's a head of gold, and then silver, bronze, iron, and clay as it goes down. The Bible said that the iron and clay is mingled together. And then he explains that. He said when the iron is mixed with the seed of men. I've been preaching that for a long time. These natural brute beasts. The Bible said over there in Genesis, those sons of God took the daughters of men of all they chose. They had children, men of renown. But I've seen this. Maybe some of y'all seen that also. They say that the Y chromosome is degenerating in mankind. Well, that don't surprise me. I believe that because I think there's less true mankind than we think there really was or are. I believe we got some natural brute beasts that's mingled in now, and they don't have the Y chromosome. So you're crazy. I know it. I understand that. But those fallen sons of God and the creation of God's hands is two different things. Cain was of the wicked one. I don't know what kind of chromosome Satan has, but apparently it ain't a Y. And they say it's going to take millions of years for this to take place, but humanity will eventually either be gone or they'll have to have come up with some other reproductive chromosome. I believe when the devil gets turned loose on this thing, it ain't going to take near as long as you think it is. I don't think it'll take long at all. I mean, they wasn't many generations went by when the sons of God saw the daughters of men. God pulled off of that thing. But what I want to get off of that, I want to say this. The Bible said they eat from that table and it become a snare. It become a trap. It become a stumbling block and it become a recompense. God gave us a table to eat from. And listen to me, He gave us a place to eat. He's given us manna from heaven, the bread of life, and a place to come eat. But if you ain't careful, it'll be like it was in the book of Daniel when all of that's been taken away. And in fact, I think a lot of it's already been taken away in a lot of places. There's a lot of them that used to be the house of God, and you walk in them, you think you're walking in a nightclub. All of the instruments of worship's already been taken out. The Spirit of God's already gone. And I won't say this, they're already trapped. They're already snared. They can't go back. No. They've done sold out. They're eating from another table. They've done sold out to another gospel and another Jesus and another spirit. I read that. And it's on us. This is scary stuff to me. But my prayer is this. I sit back there and I read that scripture a lot. And I thought about Daniel. He once was dressed in scarlet back in that land. He'd been brought into captivity. And they're telling him, you're living in prosperity. They're telling him you're eating the king's meat and drinking the king's wine. But you know what the Lord thinks about it? He said, you're in a dunghill.
Well, I trust you've enjoyed the message. Once again, write us at Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621, or at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. And until next week, God bless you.